All right, John chapter 3. This man Nicodemus, he was a sincere man. Turn to John 7, verse 50 a moment. He was a decent, devout, religious man, but he was a sincere man. In John 7, verse 50, we find him defending. He was with the Pharisees, but he was defending our Lord and his people. All the people and the rulers were against our Lord. And here in verse 50, Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, being one of the Pharisees, doth our Lord judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Then answered they unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Every man went to his own house, but somehow he calmed that council. And then in John chapter 19, John 19, after our Lord had died on the cross, John 19, verse 39, and Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and requested the body of Jesus. Let's read verse 38, John 19, 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, this might apply to Nicodemus too, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, 100-pound weight, and then took these two men took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices in the manner of the Jews and buried it in Joseph's tomb. So, man's interesting. He's a devout, religious man, but the thing Nicodemus did not understand was that eternal life and salvation was not in the law, not in the ceremonies, not in the Jewish traditions. That's where he thought they were. He's like that other Pharisee that says, I tithe, I give alms, I fast, I keep the law. Like Saul of Tarsus, you know, he said, there was a time when concerning the law, I was blameless. And this man didn't understand that salvation wasn't in those things. He didn't understand that salvation is in Christ. You understand that, and I do. He didn't. We understand that salvation is in Christ, his blood, his righteousness. He's our substitute. And this salvation's ours by a union with Christ. And that union with Christ is through faith in Christ. And that faith comes by being born again. It's a gift of God. It comes by the word of God. He didn't know those things. So this conversation took place. We read it a moment ago. Now look at verse 12. And our Lord said in verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we know, that we do know. We testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. Now, Nicodemus, if I've told you earthly things and you didn't believe me, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now, the Lord said that to him in answer to a statement he made back here in verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? These things, how can they be? How can a man be born again? How can a man understand the kingdom of God? How can a man enter the kingdom of God? How can these things be? And Christ said, if I told you earthly things and you didn't believe them, what's the use telling you heavenly things? You won't believe. Now I ask you this question. What are the earthly things he told him? Have you ever thought about that? This, we have the whole conversation right here. Between Nicodemus came, Master, we know you're a teacher come from God. Christ said something, he answered. Christ said something, he answered. Christ said the third thing, and he answered. And then Christ said, I told you earthly things, and you didn't believe them. What were the earthly things he told you? So here's the first one, verse 3. Jesus answered and said, "Except I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Man is a sinner. Man's dead in trespasses and sin. Man died in Adam. By one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. And he's a helpless, hopeless, dead sinner with no understanding of spiritual things. No understanding of God. He died in Adam. Now, Nicodemus, that's an earthly truth. That's something you ought to understand. That's something you ought to know. That's something that's revealed throughout the Scriptures, that something happened in the Garden of Eden. It happened to Adam. It happened to all his posterity. We died. We're dead. We're not spiritual. Nicodemus had read Genesis 1, 2, and 3. How man lost the truth and lost the way to God and lost the life of God. He died. And here he comes and speaks to our Lord. And I said, our Lord said, Nicodemus, except a man's recreated, regenerated, born again. He can't understand. He can't see. He can't hear. He can't enter into the things of God, spiritual matters. That's an earthly truth. That's a fact. But you don't believe that. And Nicodemus said, well, how can he be born? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Here's the second earthly thing Christ taught him. He said, Nicodemus, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh. If you entered your mother's womb 6 times and were born, you'd be born 6 times a dead sinner. You can't give yourself life. Nobody else can give you life. Life is from above. Listen, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It'll stay flesh. That's a fact. That's an earthly truth. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the Word and born of God and born of the truth, that's spiritual. And here's the earthly truth that you don't believe. Man's dead. Hopeless, helpless, dead sinner. Appeal to him all you want to, but he's still dead. Brag on him or curse him, he's still dead. Preach the gospel to him, he's still dead. Urge him to do things for God, he's still dead. He's going to stay dead until he's born again. And that new birth is from above. That new birth is not of the earth. It can't be accomplished here. You can walk them down the aisle. You can put them in the pool. You can feed them the Lord's table. You can give them communion. You can bless them. You can pat them on the head, knock them on the floor, and cover them with a blanket. They're still dead. But God can give them life. And God does it through the Word. They're born, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the water and the blood. The water and the blood. Let thy healing stream which flowed from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Water and the blood. Born from above. Now that's fact. But you don't believe it. And my generation doesn't believe it. They don't believe man's lost. You can't get a man saved, you get him lost. Man won't be found if he's lost. Got to believe that. So what's the use of me telling you how a man can be found if you don't believe he's lost? What's the use of me telling you how a man can live if you don't believe he's dead? What's the use of me telling you how a man can know God if he thinks he already does and got him a false God? That's two earthly things that I told you and you don't believe. Now here's the third one. Verse 8. The wind bloweth where it pleases. The wind bloweth where it will. And you hear the sound, but you can't tell whence it cometh. You see the results, but you don't know where it came from. And you can't make it come. You can't blow wind, rain come down. Can't do it. God sends the wind. And so the third thing I told you is that salvation's of the Lord, that he'll save whom he will. He'll call whom he will. He'll quicken whom he will. He'll be merciful to whom he will. It's not of the will of man. It's not of the will of the flesh. It's of God. The wind. Who's the wind? Well, when Ezekiel stood on that mountain and saw that valley of dry bones, dry, bleached, parched, barren bones, been dead a long time. And the Lord said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel knew they were dead. He knew they were powerless. God said, can they live? He said, Lord, you know. Ezekiel knew these earthly things. He said, you know. He said, preach to them. And he said, I preached to them. Bone came to bone and so forth and so on, but they were still dead. And the Lord said, Ezekiel, they had no breath in them. They had no life in them. The Lord said, Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind and cry, O breath of God, O breath of God, breathe on these things. And he said, I prophesied, and the wind blew. And the breath of God came upon them. And they stood up, a great army, and lived. Now then, that's these earthly things. See, the Bible is an earthly book. It's written by men. God inspired them, but they wrote it. The Bible can be read by an earthly man, is written by an earthly man, tells all these truths. The Scripture is earthly, but the understanding of it is heavenly. That's the difference. And if preachers this morning preaching the Bible, say he preaches the Bible. All of them do. All of them do. Some in some way. But the understanding of it. So Nicodemus, verse 12, I told you earthly truth, man's dead. I told you earthly truth, he cannot give himself life. I told you fact, God can. And that's clearly written throughout the pages of God's Word. And how should you believe if I tell you about these heavenly blessings and this glorious good news and spiritual truth in the Redeemer? But, verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, several things here. Number one, our Lord is saying no man can ascend up into heaven, and no man can penetrate the hidden counsels of God. Can you, by searching, find out God? Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? And there's no other way to know him but unto perfection. What can you do? It's deeper than hell. What can you know? It's higher than the heaven. No man can ascend to heaven and penetrate the hidden mysteries and counsels of a holy God. We're just worms in the dust and flesh and confined to this old earth. Will God pardon sin? Will God show mercy to the guilty? Can he be clean that's born of a woman? If a man dies, shall he live again? How can God be just and justified? How are we going to find out these things? We can't invade heaven. No man's ascended to heaven. All of our information's here. But one day, listen, no man can ascend to heaven but he that came down. He that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, Almighty God, Eternal God in the flesh, Son of Man. He that descendeth is the same that ascended, and he that ascended is the same that descended, even the Son of Man. Now watch this phrase, which is in heaven, which even while here speaking to Nicodemus, Son of Man in heaven. Heaven is his habitation. Heaven is his residence. Heaven is his throne. Earth's his footstool, but he visited here. He was made for a little while lower than the angels, and he alone is qualified. He alone is qualified to reveal these heavenly things. But I've got to ascribe to and believe the earthly things, the word, truth, fact, to learn these heavenly things. Here's the remedy. Christ will give it to him. Here's the key. Here's the gospel. How can these things be? He tells him. He tells him. Reckon Nicodemus heard him? I hope he did. But the new birth is an impartation of divine life by the Spirit of God, by the power of God, and it's imparted to men by faith in the Son who was lifted up. That's what he's going to tell us. In verse 14, and Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Let's turn to Numbers 21 and see what happened in the wilderness. Now, Nicodemus knew these things. He probably memorized this scripture. He knew these things. He was a teacher. He was a rabbi. He was a master. He was a ruler of the Jews. And the Jews had murmured. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. You get the picture, that fiery serpents all over the camp biting the people. All of them died. Most of them died. Many died. Much people. Therefore the people came to Moses and they said, we've sinned. We've spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray to the Lord that he'll take away these serpents. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said, Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. Make this fiery serpent in the likeness of the serpent that bit the people. Make it in the likeness of the serpents, and lift it up on a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that's bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass. He made one, put it on a pole. It came to pass, if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld a serpent of brass, he lived. Now the fiery serpents had bitten the people, and they were dying, and they were dead and dying. And Moses made a serpent of brass in the likeness of the serpents that had bitten the people. And this word made is used twice here, and our Lord in the Word uses it frequently. Christ was made sin for us. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was made in the likeness of flesh and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ came down here and was made sin, made in the likeness of flesh. And as the serpent was lifted up on a pole, Christ was lifted up on a cross. The Jews expected their Messiah to be lifted up on a throne, and he is. But he must be lifted up on a cross to redeem the people who will make up his kingdom. He was lifted up, and he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. And it says, and everyone that looked lived. Now read John 3 again. Now hear our Lord. So he's telling Nicodemus something he knows. You remember Moses lifted up that serpent? Even so must the Son of Man. Not the Son of God, though he is the Son of God, but he's a man. The first Adam, we died. Second Adam, we live. The first Adam, death. The second Adam, life. But he must be crucified. He must obey the law as a man for our righteousness. He must bear the penalty of sin and justice, our atonement, lifted up. Now here's the results. That's the remedy. As Moses lifted up that serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross. He must. And here's the results. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It'll come to pass that everyone that's bitten, when he looks, and a fellow, before he looks, believes. He believes and looks. That's why he looks. He believes. Look to Christ. Look to me and be your saved. I don't look to him, but I look away from everything else. I look to Christ alone. Look and live. Their dying condition was real. Their helplessness was real. God's promise was real. They believe and live. Our sinful condition is real from the Garden of Eden. Our helplessness is real. God's word is given, and it's real. The promise is true. He that looks lives. That's the remedy. But I tell you this, a man's got to be convinced of the need before he'll look to the remedy. The heavenly truth comes to those who understand the awful earthly facts. That's right. Now here's the reason for all this. The lifting up of the Son of God, that's the remedy. The result is whosoever looks, without a doubt, will live. And the reason is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The reason for salvation is not found in us. The reason for salvation and redemption is not found in anything we do. The reason is found in our God. The Son is lifted up, and whosoever looketh shall live, because God loved. That's why, because God loved. God loved the world. God loved. God sent his Son. God sent his Son to the cross. It pleased God to bruise him. The atonement is not the cause of God's love. It's the effect of God's love. Christ didn't come down here to get God to love us. He came because God did love us. God did not give his Son and then love us because Christ died for us. He gave his Son because he loved us, and Christ died for us because God loves us. Love precedes grace. And it's not found in us. Herein is love, not that we love God. He loved us. He gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And listen, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, Jew or Gentile, male or female, old or young, drunk or sober, preacher or prisoner, smart or dumb, wise or unwise, he will not perish. That's a promise. You can't look to Christ and perish. Now you can look to your church and look to the law and look to your preacher and look to your experience and look to your feeling, look to anything else and still perish. But you can't look to Christ and perish. He that believeth on him should not perish. He shall not fail. God's love, the tense of it, God so loved, he's always loved. The magnitude of it, he gave his Son. The design of it, that he should redeem a people. And the benefit of it, he's going to do that. He's not going to perish. And the blessings of it, they're going to have eternal life. I don't want to perish. But I also want to live in glory. See, they'll not perish, but have everlasting life. They'll not perish. That's good that I won't perish. But it's even better that I'm going to live always. Verse 17. God sent not his Son into the world. This is our Lord talking now. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Let's understand something loud and clear here now. You don't say this, but other people do. Someone says, well, are you saying that if I don't believe in Jesus Christ, I'll be forever lost? Are you saying that if I don't believe in Jesus Christ, I'll be forever lost? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you lost already. You may never hear the name of Jesus Christ. You may never think anything about him. You're still lost. You're not lost because you don't believe in him. You're lost because you're a sinner. You're a criminal. You're a traitor. You walked the name of God under your feet and cursed God and did everything he told you not to do. You're a rebel against a holy, merciful, loving king. And you're not going to be lost because you don't believe on Christ Jesus. You already lost. Christ didn't come to condemn this world. He that believeth not on the Son is condemned already. He's condemned before he ever heard of Christ. Other people say, well, you mean to tell me, are you saying that if I don't believe in Christ, I'm going to stand someday at the judgment guilty before God? No, I'm not saying that. And then you're already standing there guilty. Christ can change your state, but your state's as it is. We're not lost because we don't believe the gospel. We're lost because we're born in sin, love sin, and walk in sin. That's the reason. Unbelief does not condemn men. It adds to their condemnation. It adds to it. It adds to it. God didn't send his Son, get that truth now, into the world to condemn the world. Men were lost before he came. Men were dying before he came. Men were sinners before he came. He came to save. That's why he came. I'm come that they might have life. I'm not come that they might be damned for not believing on me. I'm come that they might have life. They're already damned. I came to save the lost. I didn't come to get them lost. I came to save them, found that which is lost. Now let's read verse 18 and let me show you something here. He that believeth on Christ is not condemned. There's no judgment to them who are in Christ. I'm looking out over this congregation to which I've preached for many, many years. And the Lord has been pleased to redeem you and give you an understanding of the gospel. That you know the living God, and you're not condemned. There's no judgment, there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? Christ died, yea, is risen again, who is exalted, who makes intercession for us. He that believeth on him is not condemned, cannot be condemned, will never be condemned, will never be embarrassed, will never be ashamed. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Is that what I said? He's condemned already. The lost tried him and found him guilty. What the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. All the world become guilty before God. He's already condemned. Justice says, the law tried him, the law found him guilty, justice sentenced him to death, and it'll be carried out. Well, what does this word preacher mean? What's this word mean here, preacher, because? Look at verse 18. Let me read carefully. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Well, the sinner's guilty, right? His condemnation is just and true. That's right. That's why he's going to be eternally lost, because he's a sinner. Because he sinned against God. Unbelief is the deadliest of all sins, but that's why he sinned, because he didn't believe God. But another significant reason why he'll hear God say, depart from me, and why he'll be lost, is he has no mediator. He has no intercessor. He has no savior. He's condemned because he has no mediator. He's condemned because he's a sinner. Well, that'll condemn us too. No, it won't. We have a mediator. See what I'm saying? If you take all the people in the world and gather them before God, the sea gave up the dead, and death and hell gave up the dead, and all men stand before God. And he says to those on the left hand, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? They're sinners. But these were too. They sinned against God, but these were dead too. But he's going to say to them, enter into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. What's the difference? They got a mediator. They've got a righteousness. They've got a Savior. They've got a blood atonement. They've got a mediator. They don't. So he that believeth on the Son is not condemned, because he's got a mediator. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has no mediator. You have a mediator? Do you have one who stands? Oh, Roland Hill. Roland Hill dreamed that he died. And Roland Hill was a famous preacher back 200 years ago in England. He dreamed he died. And he found himself at the judgment in a big, wide, huge valley. And he stood on his tiptoes, and there were people everywhere. People everywhere. This is a dream. People everywhere. And you heard a voice, magnificent, powerful voice. And people were being judged. Being judged out of the things written in the books. No mediator. And he thought, well, I'm all right. I believe on the Lord. I believe on Christ. And he sat down on a rock. And these names kept being called. He didn't pay a whole lot of attention, but in a minute he heard his name, Roland Hill. And he said, all the life drained out of me. This is a dream. Sweat broke out all of me. Roland Hill. And he said, I tried to get up. I tried to stand. I couldn't. And I heard a voice say, here. And he said, then I perked up. I thought, who's this other Roland Hill? There's another Roland Hill. And he said, I looked, and there he was, the Lamb in the midst of the throne. The Lamb as if he had been slain. Unto him who loved us and gave himself for us, who washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God. He said, I'm Roland Hill. I took all of his debt and his punishment, paid his debt, satisfied the law, set him free. Enter ye blessed into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? A mediator. So the Son of Man didn't come to condemn this world. It's already condemned. He came to save. And he that believeth on him is not, cannot, will not be condemned, because he's got a one who ever liveth to make intercession. Mediator. There's one God and one mediator. Take all the religion you want to, Catholic, Protestant, Jew, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, ball them up in the one, do what you want to with them, but there's one mediator between God and me, and that's the man Christ Jesus. If he's your mediator and your Lord and your Savior and your substitute and your righteousness and your blood atonement and your hope, you're not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has no mediator.